This is Football. I am Kevin Clark. Stacked episode. I told you we'd have 2 weeks of episodes coming out of Orlando in the owners' meetings. How about this? We will start Packers coach Matt LaFleur. Go to Brandon Bean, the Bills GM, and then Dan Quinn, coach of the Washington Commanders. Great topics with all. Love sitting down with these guys. Later in the week, we will return to kind of the normal offseason program, draft stuff, all that stuff. But I wanted to get the GM and coaches interview out of the way. Hope you guys enjoyed the last couple of weeks. Really, I mean, like some of these clips are really fun and talking to people I've never sat down with before. Clark Hunt being a good example last week, and then revisiting with people I've known for a long time. I've really enjoyed it. So hopefully you guys have too. A bunch of coaches, bunch of GMs. You can go back and listen to last week's episode if you want to catch up on those two that went up on Tuesday and Friday. We'll see you guys on Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt LaFleur. All right, Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Green Bay Packers. What's going on, man?
Just enjoying life right now in Orlando.
Do you like Orlando?
It's great.
I'm from here. This is a Chamber of Commerce moment.
I don't want to disparage Orlando, but I wouldn't be my first destination. I mean,
we'll be
there's
first.
A lot of people. We're not on any water, so like Bahamas.
There's a pool, right? There's a kiddie pool right there where it's within view. All right. Sorry you don't respect her, whatever that thing is. All right, five quick questions for you. First one, we call it badasses. Most badass person you've ever coached in football. Could be anyway. An alien, the way I phrase it, alien comes down and says, take me to the badass football player you've been around. Where are you going, Matt?
Well, I was talking to Jason Wallers about this, and it might be too soon, but like Aaron Jones is he's a badass football player.
Oh, wow.
So, but yeah, there's been a lot. I mean, when I think about just guys that play the game the right way, that prepare the right way, for a guy that's 190 pounds and just the beating that the runners take in general, I mean, it's like a car crash every time they get they get tackled. So I think, honestly, just his ability to come back from, I thought he shredded his knee earlier this year when we were playing the Chargers, and his ability to, I still don't know how he didn't get severely injured on that play, but his ability to come back later in the year and what he was able to do, I would say that was pretty badass.
Best Jordan Love throw of 2023?
Ooh, the one that sticks out to me, he made so many incredible throws, but the one that sticks out to me was probably in our playoff game versus Dallas, when they all out pressured us, he changed the protection and he threw a dime to Dontavian Wicks for a touchdown. And there were so many great throws, but just that whole process of him recognizing cover zero, getting us in the right protection, and then, you know, drifting, hanging in there, and making that play. I thought that was an incredible play.
If I'm not mistaken, he struggled a little bit with the cover zero stuff against Kansas City when his first start. He wasn't prepared.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago. But like,
I put that growth more on us as coaches. I don't think we had a great zero plan that day. The growth has been incredible.
Yeah.
It's been phenomenal. He is so much fun to work with. He's a guy that continually learns from both the great plays and the not so great plays. Mm-hmm. So, I'm excited about what the future has in store for him.
We do a thing called one rep back. Any play in at any level that you've ever called that you could have back, and I'm talking, you know, college, whatever, you can get the play back and redo it. Call a different play or execute a different way or add a different protection to it, whatever it is, where are you going?
Well, you always think about like the games that you lost. So we had a play this year against the Niners late in the game when we're up 21-17, I think it was. Right? Was that right? 21-17? We're down in the red area, 2nd and 11. We called a run. Wish I had that play called back, because we all know how that ended. So, wish we'd have been a little bit more aggressive in that situation.
Just throwing a pass, just done anything?
Any pass,
anything else.
Yeah, and then I mean, not to pour gas on my own fire, but going back to the NFC Championship game versus Tampa, you wish you would have called a play in one of those plays that would have worked. you know, or maybe executed better at a higher level.
Yeah. Last thing for you, biggest difference between the, we're asking every coach we talk to, biggest difference between the 2023 Packers and the 2024 Packers would be what?
I just think how we manage our, you know, our own expectations, getting our guys. We had a really young team last year. I think we exceeded a lot of people's belief in what we could do. But, you know, I've been in this game for a long time now, and nothing's going to be given to you. So our guys are going to have to come back with the right mentality and just get to work, you know, get to work. How our ability to come together as a team is going to be critical, and making sure that our guys take that next step, each individual, so our collective group can be better.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Awesome, man.
We'll be back with Brandon Bean after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Brandon Bean, general manager of the Buffalo Bills. What's going on, man?
How you doing? Good.
Do you like Orlando? I'm from Orlando. I'm asking everybody. Matt LaFleur said there's no water, doesn't like it. Do you like Orlando?
I like Florida.
These non-answers. These non-answers.
Right now, I like Florida because it's winter still in Buffalo. We still got a couple months.
Yeah, no, I'll
take it.
Yeah, I hear that. It's about 40 degrees warmer here than in Westchester where I'm from, so I'll take it for right now. So you attacked the offseason. You and I have interesting talks a lot of off seasons about the way you guys are evolving as a team, and it's really interesting. You know, you guys have to kind of evolve along with Josh and the way his style goes. And I'm curious, this year, when you look at this offseason, like the next couple of pieces, what do the Bills need in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you are constantly evolving. You know, we'll start with defense. You know, the other side of the ball from Josh.
Yeah, of course.
You know, we had two safeties for seven seasons, and to have a pair like those two that just, they mesh together, almost like one out there, like a glove, and to be able to have that for so long was huge, not only on the field, but the leadership those guys brought. So, and take a Tre'Davious White with the injuries. So our secondary, you know, is having an overhaul, and we were able to extend Taron Johnson, who's played really well for us at nickel. And we're bringing back some corners in, you know, Rasul, Benford, and Elam. But there is a lot of change there. And then up front, you know, we lost Milano, or the linebacker. We lost Milano.
He's from Orlando.
Yes, he is. Looking forward to getting him back this year with Bernard. And then we obviously were very thin at D-line. So we've tried to retool, you know, the D-tackles and the ends. And then on the other side, it's you know, people were kind of like a tight end last year. You got Dawson Knox. Why'd you add Kincaid? Well, it was just trying to add a weapon and different skill sets and players with run after catch, just different pieces that Joe Brady and Josh can line up in different areas.
The Joe Brady offense is different. Why? Like what? The obviously last year, I mean, the numbers were good last year, but obviously you got to have to make a change. Going into this year with Joe Brady, like what? How does that change the way you attack personnel, all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we're not like overhauling an offense or anything. Right. Joe's come in and learn this, which, you know, was the New England system that evolved a little with Dorsey, will evolve a little bit with him, but the base concepts will still be the same. And I know he and Josh have had a lot of dialogue through the end of the season and just some of the things that, you know, that they want to do and areas that they think we can get better. I thought Joe did a good job of, you know, you always want to be able to run the ball when you have to run the ball. I thought he showed that, you know, he, along with Aaron Cromer, our O-line coach, could put together schemes when people are trying to play, you know, too deep, too shell to make us check it down, us to be able to run the ball and pull it out of them. So We'll continue to do that with Joe. Joe's a great communicator. He and Josh really meshed well, which was probably a big reason why he was the leader in the clubhouse to get the job after the season.
Of course. There's a really great quote from Joe Burrow, actually, where they're talking about windows, and Burrow said, "The window is as long as I'm here." And I think that's pretty applicable to any great franchise quarterback.
Yep.
And with Josh, that's 100% the case. I'm curious how you view, like, there's a narrative, and obviously with a lot of teams, this team is peaking right now, this team's window is closed. How do you view the Bills' window and kind of maximizing that, Brandon?
Yeah, I think Joe Burrow nailed it.
Yeah.
If you have to have a franchise quarterback to be a consistent contender. Could you make a one-year run without one? Sure. Mm-hmm. But to truly give yourself to be in the mix to win a championship every year, it starts there. And so I don't think our window is closing. Yes, you're having to constantly – there's changes, salary changes, draft changes, all the things as you evolve your roster. And, yes, you know, we had to get under the cap this year, go younger in some areas. But it all still built around the quarterback. And, you know, we believe in being strong up front. You know, put together a good team with good football players. And when to get over the top, your best players have to play well in those meaningful games at the end of the season.
Is there a next step for Josh, in your opinion, just scheme-wise, style-wise?
No, I mean, I think like anything, he's done a great job with the turnovers in the postseason. I would say for him, he's probably going to challenge himself. And he doesn't need us to tell him. He's going to challenge himself to – try and cut down on those a little bit, but we don't want to take the Josh Allen, all that he brings, and we do know some of the plays he makes, tip balls are going to happen, an overthrow here or there are going to happen, but he's continued to evolve. Teams are always going to look for different ways to attack him, and so I think he's done a nice job of answering those questions. There may be some different looks again this year, and it'll be up to him and Joe to, you know, kind of, you know, work through those and figure those out.
Two quick ones. We do this to everybody. It's called Badasses. It's the most badass person you've ever been around in football. Can be anybody, but we know what that means. You know, the guy, the toughest guy, the guy who was the hardest hitter, the guy who played for everything. In your football life, Brandon Bean, who's your badass?
Probably Thomas Davis.
Oh.
Yeah. You no one hit harder than TD. And I always said I would – I feel for some of the guys that got hit by him.
if we're looking on YouTube for the play, the Thomas Davis play, what is it?
Oh, gosh, I don't know where to start. I tell you what, I still remember watching his film. They put together a cut-up of just some of his hits coming out of Georgia when he was playing safety, and it was lethal. He hit Jimmy Graham one time. Jimmy was running. We were playing the Saints. He hit Jimmy. Jimmy's running across the middle, and he's looking back, and I think Thomas thought the ball was about to come to him, and he was on his way there. Drew Brees must have saw it, threw it somewhere else, and Thomas did not let up, and he ran through him, and I was just like, oh, my God. It was a hard enough hit as it was, and Jimmy had no idea it was coming.
So last thing, we just everybody called one rep back. So if it's a play caller, it's the play you want back. If it's a player, it's just the, you know, it's you made a mistake or whatever, you missed a block, whatever. For GMs, we want the scouting report, the eval. Is there a guy? And typically for most guys, it's a guy you maybe didn't see something in and then he became a great player at the next level. What's the one eval in your career you would love to have back?
Oh, geez.
Where you just didn't see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, I think most recently, I thought Puka Nacua did a really good job with the Rams. I mean, you know, I can't say that, you know, you knew he was a tough player, player, but not to produce what he did. And I thought McVay and those guys really used him well. And it was like a perfect fit, too.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if he would have done that everywhere, but McVay had a vision, knew how to use him. And, you know, as his stats were piling up, I kept watching how they were doing it. And it was a perfect fit.
Brandon Bean, thanks so much, man.
You got it, buddy. Thanks.
Appreciate you.
We'll be back with Dan Quinn right after this.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and up must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Dan Quinn, new coach of the Washington Commanders. What's going on, brother?
Not much, man. It's been a cool couple days. You know, like just new rule proposals, new meeting, just getting time to spend with everybody. So it's been a productive couple days.
Before we get into the Commanders and what this looks like this year, the new rules, the kickoff stuff, anything, unintended consequences, maybe that's the wrong term, but like, where do you see this going? Do you like the rule change? What happens next year?
Yeah, one, I'm really pumped about it.
Sure.
I think it adds a lot of energy to how we're going to play and what we're going to do. And so I think of guys like Devin Hester, you know, who now, like, the returns are now a part of what we're doing. So I get why we switched.
Yep.
And the overcorrection happened. So I think now we're finding a middle space. And so, like, the new things that happen, they're always fun.
Yep.
And so this is another one for us. And let's see where it plays out. But I think it's going to be a really cool addition to our game.
I like that. It's interesting. You take over in Atlanta. Matt Ryan is there.
Yep.
And Matt Ryan, by the way, was a stud. And I'm worried we're like writing Matt Ryan out of history. Matt Ryan was a stud.
Yeah, he's a badass.
He is a badass. But you've never had to look for a franchise quarterback in, in that role because Matt was there, you know, and we moved. Now you're going through that process now. Looking through it with fresh eyes, getting there, obviously you're going to get doing something at the quarterback position the next couple of months. What is that process for you? How do you view that? And what is your definition of a franchise quarterback?
You know, it's been fun over my last, I don't know, like 10 or 11 years in Seattle. Russ,
yep,
you know, year 2 and 3, going into Matt, into that space in Atlanta, and then being with Dak in Dallas.
Yeah.
And so I've seen what good looks like at the spot.
Yep.
And so as a defensive coach for a long time, you look at who the top guys are quarterback-wise because you have a sense you're probably going to be going against them.
Yeah.
And so you want to say, okay, what does this one have? What does this one have? And so going through the process from, you know, a different point of view where you're going through all the guys, it's been good. And so one of the best parts of that has been going through that process with Adam. And so real, you know, like specific way that we would go through it. And so like, if you want to look at a receiver, you can look at his targets.
Yep.
You know, to look at a quarterback, there's so many things other than just arm strength and decision making and the ability to get out of trouble and like all of that goes into it. So you got to go through every play of every game and even for a couple of years. So it takes time, but it's really a cool experience to go through.
As a defensive coach on that side of the ball, I mean, obviously you know the offensive side of the ball, but do you think you view the quarterback position differently because again you've gone against so many great quarterbacks, you game plan for it, where you're almost, you have different eyes a little bit?
Yeah, probably so, because you spent your whole career trying to like, how do we disrupt this person? And but seeing like those traits come out in different players, knowing that like it's not one size fits all, but knowing like, how does this person, you know, make these decisions, get out of it. What's the third down look like? What's a 2 minute look like? You know, at the end of the game when it's on the line, like how does that person respond? And there's a lot that goes into it, but it's a really cool, like I said, process to go through.
Yeah. Team building philosophy. Obviously, you and Adam are going to know each other from a football perspective, understanding what the likes are and the dislikes and all of that stuff. Just the last couple of weeks, how has that process been? And what is the, you know, accelerating chemistry is the name of the game around this time. Just figuring out, hey, what do we like? Like, what's been the process of getting on the same page from a football team building standpoint and understanding, hey, this is what we want the Commanders to be this year?
Yeah, and I think that's like the fun part, because you want to make sure this guy is going to be a Commander. Like, that's been one of the things we've came back to. It's like, what does that mean? What does that look like? Yeah. What does that feel like? And so the best of the best teams I've been on have been really good in the locker room first. Then that transfers onto the field. So we were just, you know, like at every space, the competitive, the toughness, the ability to, you know, to be explosive and make plays. Those were always things that kept coming back to it. But discussing those players together, that's been part of our team building process. We looked at the current roster. How did that go during free agency? Yeah. What is the mesh going to look like with the draft? And so, like, each step along the way has been a lot of discussion. How does it look? Where do we go? So it's been fun.
Obviously, not to look backwards necessarily, but the Commanders fan base, they've been through it over the past 20 years. And then I think that there's a understanding this is a new regime. And I'm just curious, like, the optimism, you get there, you move there. You know, I have a bunch of Commanders fans in my family. And it's like, it just seems like there's just been a weight lifted, new regime, new GM, new coach, new ownership. I'm curious, I don't know, is there an extra pressure you feel just to give these fans something? Because, you know, I sometimes hear, and I remember a couple months ago, I was listening to an old interview with Bill Parcells talking about old RFK.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how loud it would get, and, you know, the biggest, loudest fan base in football. And it's like, I'm a young guy. I literally don't remember
right on
that Washington franchise being a crown jewel. Just yes. I'm a little younger. And it's like, it seems like you guys are you know, on the way to restoring that. Is there a pressure? Is there a pride you feel in kind of restoring that?
I don't know if it was the pressure, but it was definitely why I also wanted this opportunity here. Like, I know what this organization can be and can stand for. So, like, for me, growing up on football, I grew up on the NFC East and seeing these matchups and how it went. And so, like, knowing that, like, you could have your stake into that and what it can be, like, that meant a lot to me. And so I know how important football is to the DMV. I know how important, you know, this fan base, you know, like, having a kick-ass team is. And so, like, I don't know if it was pressure, it was more like I wanted that chance to be a part of it and
opportunity.
Yeah, so, like, once that kicked in, it was like, hell yeah, like, this has to be the spot.
Is there something you think about when you think about that franchise, you know, growing up watching football, even, you know, obviously being in the sport a little beforehand, you know, when you were, you know, coordinator level, but, like, is there a moment that sticks out about the franchise where, like, that's Washington football?
I think, like, for me growing up, like, there's all these unique things that took place with the team back then, from the Hogs and the Smurfs and others that, like, there was a real identity about the team.
Yep.
And so I hope, you know, when our fans and families watch us play, said, man, we're going to create a nightmare to go against. And that's the scheme. It's the personnel, but it's also the fans.
Yep.
So, like, when they come to our stadium, like, man, this is going to be a hard day. Like, you better be ready. It's going to be loud. The team's going to get after it. Like, the whole environment makes, you know, like, being part of this organization really cool. Like, we're all in this.
I think a lot of times coaches talk about the second opportunity, different perspective, all that stuff. Number one lesson you learned in Dallas, like, just taking a step back, thinking about, okay, when I get the next opportunity, this will happen. What's the number one lesson you think you learned in Dallas?
Yeah, and there's a number of them, but I would say, like, at the end of it, man, just make sure, keep the main thing the main thing. The first time you're as a head coach, like, well, I want to do this and we can do this and do this, and so all of a sudden now you're here, like, that's important, but this right here, this is really important. So, like, putting the priorities on things, what needs to be done now, what can wait. And so that's why, like, I'm so lit up about getting back with the guys here this week to get going. But yeah, just putting that priority on the things that need it the most. There's lots of things that you want to be involved with, but, man, like, make that the main thing.
I forgot, literally, Jim Harbaugh yesterday was like, April 2nd, it's on my mind. Everybody was like, what's April 2nd? It's the beginning of the offseason. We're like, wait, what? There's what now? We're here in Orlando. And yeah, you guys are ready to get back
at Tuesday, it's like, it's on. So, like, that's the best part. That's why I coach. Not for the X and O's or the stuff. It's like that interaction with the team.
Yeah.
And so to get together with them is really cool.
Quick hitters. Number one moment that you were around for the Legion of Boom. Like, the number one play where you're just like, this is Legion of Boom football in Seattle.
Man, that's a good one. I would say tip ball by Malcolm. I mean, by Richard Sherman. That caused an interception by Malcolm Smith.
But
it's more than just the tip ball. Yeah. It was the way the guys ran to the ball. So we were playing a zone, but if Malcolm's not just like busting his ass, that was the standard we have to go and run, that interception doesn't take place. And so he wasn't watching to see what was going to happen. Like, he was executing and running at a high level. So I thought that part of the game you love the best. Like, it's all on the line for this one moment. And so to see like a game get ended like that on defense, like, that was a really cool moment.
Now, I was at that game. That was the loudest reaction I've ever heard.
Yes.
Maybe at an American sporting event. Like, it was crazy because you see the ball go up and then yes. it comes down. I mean, that was wild.
And it was clear that he had it. It wasn't did he catch it or not? And like, to be able to end it, you know, with that defense at that moment, that was a really cool play.
All right, we do something called badasses here. The most badass person you've ever coached. It can be anybody, any level. Again, way I describe it, I'm going to sound like a broken record in these interviews, but alien comes down and says, show me a football player. What are you going with?
I would say, man, I've been fortunate to coach a number of Hall of Famers, but I would say one that stuck out to me because he was the first one for me was Bryant Young. Mm. And so his standard of how he played, of how he practiced, it just set a bar so high that, like, that's what it looks like to me. And so I was fortunate, like, my first NFL job was at the Niners and getting a chance to coach him. But to see him go into the Hall of Fame just a few years ago and know what standards, how tough he was, what it looked like, he in his own right set a standard of what an NFL ball player could be. Okay. And he is officially my 100% top badass amongst a list of, like, excellent ones from Jason Taylor and Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman and a number of others. But he was the one for me.
Last thing for you. We're asking a lot of coaches what the difference between their 2023 team and 2024 team is. Obviously, you were not there, so it's a different deal. What can you promise Commanders fans about the 2024 Commanders?
I would just say, like, after they watch us play, they say, man, these guys are fast and they are physical. And so, like, I hope every time, you know, our friends and family watch us play, they say, man, they know exactly how we're going to go get it on. And to see that kind of speed and attitude and aggressiveness, I hope that shows up every time we play.
Love that. Dan Quinn, thanks so much, man. Appreciate you.
Okay.